reading of God's word. If you're ready, somebody shout, bring it on. I believe the enemy has been working relentlessly in this hour. And one of the things that God showed me is his greatest attack in this season has been a spirit of distraction. He's been wanting his people worried and full of angst and anxiety. But today, we are breaking the spirit of distraction. He wants us so focused on the superficial that we miss the supernatural. But I need at least three people to give God a praise if you're ready for a supernatural season. Come on. So I'm starting a series today, precious, called Deeper Things. And I'm going to read a few scripture references. And ironically, after this song, you're going to be blown away by this sermon. Because I'm going to be talking about the names of God. I'm going to talk about Elohim, Yahweh, and Adonai. So the Bible said in the beginning, God, somebody say God. That word is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim was hovering over the face of the waters. Then Elohim, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then Genesis 2, he goes from his creating name to his covenant-keeping name, and this manifests when he creates humanity. The Bible said, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God, Yahweh, or Jehovah, the Lord God, that's the covenant-keeping name of God, formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, he's been Elohim, the creator, but now when he starts dealing with man, he becomes Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. I dare somebody who believes that you got a covenant-keeping God, give him praise right now. This covenant-keeping God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then skip down to Genesis 15. After these things, Abram at this point is interacting with God. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing as I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? He said, the one who is my heir is not even my blood son. And this is when the Lord began to appear to him and speak to him, because Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord. The Lord here means Adonai, who means master, ruler, and the one in charge. How many of you believe you serve the master and the ruler and the one in charge, the one who has the last word, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you will be able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in Adonai. Anybody believe in Adonai today? Hallelujah. If you're ready to get in this oil, I'm going to preach in, precious. Slip up your hands. Father, today is your day. All about you. All for you. We are absolutely drawn into your presence now to hear your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord the greatest ovation of the day. Come on, if you're ready in the next few minutes to receive a word that'll change the trajectory of your life, 1, 2, 3, give him a praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach what's in a name. Before you sit down, tell everybody around you, I'm ready. I may shout today. I'm ready. Yeah, somebody may have to be careful today, because I believe freedom is in this room. Hallelujah. Now I read that there are 967 names and titles for God in the Bible. But fortunately for your neighbor, I'm only going to talk about three today. But I want us to unpack this thing. I believe that God is going to say some significant things. The Bible said in Genesis 1, in the beginning, Elohim, Elohim God, created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 3 said, and Elohim God said, let there be light, and there was light. I love the name Elohim. This is the creative speaking name of God. And I want to do a deep dive just for a moment into an understanding of the name Elohim. Because this is the name, precious, by which God introduces himself. When he steps out on the canvas of eternity, he calls himself Elohim. And I want to take this word and break it apart and get a deeper understanding of who it was that manifested in Genesis 1. The root word for Elohim is the word El. And El means the strong and the powerful one. It's as if God introduces himself and said, the first thing I want you to know and understand about me is this. I am strong and I am powerful. Nothing overwhelms me. Nothing concerns me. Nothing's got me worried. Nothing's got me full of anxiety. I am strong and I am powerful. When you're weak, be encouraged, because my strength is perfected in your weakness. See, we live in a world that has made God out to be weak. We live in this society, y'all, that is now perpetuating a God that is wimpy and spineless, who has no power and no expectation. He is more my buddy than my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. A God who is uninvolved and indifferent. There are some who have a deist mentality about God, meaning that they think that maybe he created the earth, but he doesn't actually use his power to influence the earth or its events. He's indifferent or uninvolved. And then there are others who picture him as some pitiful God. And that's the God we hear so much about in the world today, a God without standards, a God without power, a God without authority. But let me tell you today, precious, you and I serve the God El. We serve the strong and powerful God. We serve the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above anything we can ask or think. We serve a God who is not worried about the devil. We serve a God who is greater than rebellion, greater than sin, greater than sickness, greater than poverty, greater than addiction, and greater than any weapon that would form against you. We serve the God El. My God is a mighty God. He's not a wimpy God. He's not a weak God. He's not a struggling God. He's not a wondering God. But he is a mighty God. There's not a mountain he can't move. There's not a child he can't save. There's not a body he can't heal. There's not a need he can't supply. There's not a marriage he can't restore. There's not a life he can't renew. There's not a grave he can't empty. There's not a door he can't open. There's not a season he can't shift. There's not a daughter he can't deliver. There's not a son he can't sacrifice. There's not a man he can't move. There's not a problem he can't solve. He's a mighty God. I came looking for five people who still believe that he is the God El, and he is mighty and more than enough. I'm tired of this weak God that the world wants us to believe that he is. No, Isaiah said, have you not heard in Isaiah 40? He said, have you heard that El sits on the circumference of the earth, the circle of the earth? You heard about El? He said El brings princes to naught and rulers to nothing. You think God is worried about who's president? Let me tell you, in the end, I know that there's going to be a president, but let me tell you this. Presidents run, but Jesus reigns. How many of you still believe that the Lord reigns? No matter what happens in the White House, there are still some people in God's house who believe that the mighty El is in control of the whole world. The Bible said that the mighty El in Isaiah 40, Isaiah said, have you not heard? He brings princes to naught and rulers to nothing. El said, to whom will you compare him? In fact, the Lord himself begins to talk, and he said, who are you going to make my equal? Isaiah said that El does not grow tired. He doesn't get weary. One place said he doesn't even go to sleep. I made up my mind, I'm going to sleep. If he's staying awake, I'm going to sleep. But you can't sleep in church. Come on, somebody. He said here, this powerful God, El, said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. He's a powerful God, y'all. He's powerful, and what you need to do is invite him right into your world. When situations and circumstances overwhelm you, they don't even faze the mighty God El. When situations seem to be coming against you, you've got to understand that your God is a mighty God. Somebody needs that mighty God to manifest in your life. Somebody needs El in your life. Is there anybody here ready for El to manifest in your life? If you're ready for the mighty God to move. But watch this. El is the front end of his name. Come on now. We're going to really transliterate this name. I've told you before, I'm smarter than you think I am. I've got my PhD, my Pentecostal hairdo. Come on, somebody. But the front of the name is El, but the back of the name is I am. And I am means God's plural. It's where we see the Lord when he made man. He said, let us make man. Come on, somebody. In our own image. How many of you know that present at creation was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And what we see here, precious, is perfect unity. I'm declaring in this church that God and over every campus is releasing a spirit of unity in this house like we've never seen. Okay, I want everybody who wants to see us move forward in unity in these last days, open up your mouth and give God a shout right now. Every spirit of discord, it breaks. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, where there is perfect unity, there is perfect peace. So to trust in Elohim is to trust in the mighty God who can provide perfect peace. Some of y'all have been in this season of perpetual worry and anxiety. But God brought me here to tell you that he's mighty enough to give you peace in the most volatile and intense situations. Some of you have been in a season where the enemy has been trying to rob you of your peace, rob you of your rest. He's been trying to fill you with angst and worry, where his attack has been so relentless and unceasing that you feel like you're in a state of perpetual unrest. But God brought me here to say that it is time to call upon the name of Elohim. It is time to call upon the mighty God who can give you rest and give you peace. I dare somebody right now who's ready to walk in peace, open up your mouth and give God praise. Come on. He introduces himself as the God of power and the God of peace. Somebody in the room today, somebody watching by live stream, you need Elohim in your life. You need him in your family because you can't fix this thing. You can't move this thing. You can't change this child. And not only are you wrestling with your inability to resolve the situation, you're also fighting the fact that you're being robbed of your peace. But I came to prophesy that Elohim is coming into your life, that he's not just going to move in power. He's going to release peace. So I need the people who are ready for peace, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. So Jeremiah 33:3, we see the name El. And God said, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. God dropped that in my spirit yesterday. And he said, when you stand before the people today, when you talk to thousands online around the world, he said, tell them to call on me and I will answer them and show them great and mighty things that they know not of. And when I read that, the Lord said, I want to talk to you for a minute about that verse. I heard, just felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. He said, great and mighty things that you know not of. He said, tell them that I'm still able to move in such a way that defies explanation and blows their mind. He said, I'm about to move in a way that they know not of. He said, I'm about, bless him, Lord. He said, I'm about to move in a way that you've never seen before. I'm about to manifest in a way that you've never experienced before. You get on the other side of this thing. He said, I'm gonna move in a way that you know not of. He said, tell everybody in that room, I'm still God enough to blow their mind. He said, you think you've seen me big before, but you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, you think you've seen my power before, but you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, you think you've seen me heal before, but you ain't seen nothing yet. You think you've seen me deliver before, but you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, but here's the key. They got a call on me. They've been calling on their neighbor. They've been calling on their mama. They've been calling on their daddy. But said if they will open their mouth and call on Elohim, they better get ready. I'm about to provide and blow their mind. I'm about to heal and blow their mind. I'm about to, I dare somebody right now who's ready to call on the Lord God Elohim. Give him a praise right now. Call on the name Elohim. Come on now. I said call on the name Elohim. Y'all are something else. You know, I preach in some churches. I'm going to be in Macon tonight. I preached in churches that were so dead, I smelled the embalming fluid when I came through the door. Come on. But not Calvary. Y'all are radical. I said, call on the name of Elohim, and y'all started hollering Elohim. I dare somebody to shout Elohim right now. Shout Elohim over your family. Shout Elohim over your son. Shout Elohim over your daughter. Shout Elohim over your marriage. Shout Elohim over your future. Shout Elohim over your mind. Shout Elohim over this church. Shout Elohim over our nation. Now give the Lord God Elohim the greatest praise of the day. Now, El, he steps out and he's El, he's the mighty God. But he's also the God who provides peace. Come on, y'all. In this next season, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be chilling like a villain on penicillin. Come on, somebody. You know what that is? That's cracker wrap. Can I get a witness up in here? I'm walking in peace. Anybody ready to walk in peace with Apostle? Come, I said, anybody ready, sons and daughters? Are you ready to walk in peace? Come on, daughters and sons of Christ. Now, Elohim pressure is also the creative name of God. It was Elohim that showed up in the beginning of Genesis, and he reveals himself as Elohim, the mighty creating God. And I want to unpack a little deeper revelation of this mighty Elohim. We see the mission and the assignment of the writer of Genesis is that he wants to expose that nothing about creation is an accident. Nothing about creation just happened. Nothing about creation is an accident, and push your neighbor and say, including you and me. Come on. We're not some random thing that showed up in the earth. But the Bible said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You arrived with an agenda over your life. I had a plan for you when I made you. You didn't just luck up. I had a plan for your life before you were ever a sparkle in your daddy's eye. I had a plan in your life before your parents ever even met. I had a plan for you. You're not here, but I need somebody who knows that you are divinely orchestrated to be in the earth for this moment. Give that kind of predetermining God a praise. I know we're not supposed to do this, but grab your neighbor's hand, say, hold my hand a minute. Say, I want you to know what destiny feels like. Ah, come on, I want somebody who feels like you are here and you have a destiny. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Y'all, I feel breakthrough all over this house. I feel identity all over this house. Come on, somebody holler Elohim. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So we see the agenda of the writer here, precious, in Genesis, is to let the reader know that everything God does is intentional. That all of creation was and continues to be a part of a divine plan of an eternal pre-existent God. And he is a creating God. Somebody say he's a creating God. What does that mean, Apostle? Simply this: God stepped out on a stage of nothing and made everything. Okay, I got about 23% of you that may have gotten that. He stepped out on a stage of nothing and made everything. I'm going to say it one more time, just so your religious neighbor can get it. He stepped out on a stage of nothing and made everything. Now, don't miss this. He steps out on nothing and makes everything. We can make something, but we have to have something in order to make something. You give me ingredients for chicken wings, and I'll have Don make the chicken wings. Come on, somebody. You don't want me to cook. You give me material for a house, and we can build a house. You get parts, and you can build a car. But that's not how God works. God started with absolutely nothing and created everything. So Elohim now is the God who makes something out of nothing. Okay, before I dive deeper, I need somebody who still believes that God can make something out of nothing. How about all y'all in the stadium seating? How about y'all in the back? If you believe God can reach down into your nothing and make something out of it, bring him a 10-second praise right now. He'll walk right in to your nothing. I'm telling you, we serve such a mighty God named Elohim that he is able to take nothing and make everything. And maybe you're here today and you survey the circumference of your situation and your circumstance, and it seems like you have nothing. Nothing you need for a new season. Nothing you need for a change. Nothing you need for a job, a future, a big dream, an impossible situation. Your battle you're fighting. I have nothing, but God brought me here to tell you that Elohim can take your nothing and produce everything you're believing for. And somebody ought to stop right now and bring him a little thank you that he's about to move in your nothing and make something out of it. I want to hear from the people who feel like you have nothing that would unlock the next season in your life but faith in Elohim, but you believe he can do it. Open up your mouth and give God a praise in the room. Elohim can take your nothing and make something out of it. But watch this. Can I go a little deeper? Somebody in the room needs to understand the power of Elohim, because God is about to move in your nothing season. Nothing's been working. Nothing's been manifesting. Nothing's been going right. But tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I feel like the man's preaching to me. I want to praise God that he's about to move in my nothing season. If you feel like you've seen nothing happening in your family, nothing happening with your children, nothing happening with your daughters, I dare you right now, nothing happening with your son, open up your mouth and give God praise that he still moves in nothing season. Now, what becomes even more mind-blowing is the way that he moved. And God said, Genesis 1:3, and God said, when he wanted to shift everything, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Did you know that scientists tell us that the universe is perpetually and forever expanding? In other words, that light is continuing to increase throughout the billions of miles in the universe. And you say, Apostle, what are you saying? I'm saying God said, let there be light. And he never told light to stop. And he did it with his words. I know this is too much for religious people. He spoke it with his words. The Bible said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Can you imagine? He spoke and had faith in his own words. He had faith that what he declared would come to pass. He didn't say, let there be light. I think maybe there might be light. Probably there will be light. If I get in the right mindset, there will be light. No, he stepped out and he said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke with confidence in his word. Now, we are made in the image of God. So a speaking God will create a speaking man. A declaring God will make and create a declaring man. So when God spoke, he had confidence in his word. He said, if my people could learn to speak my word with the same confidence that I speak my word, he said, I will walk into their situation and I will turn things on a dime. I will turn their destiny on a dime. I dare somebody right now who understands that you can speak things by faith, the word of the Lord, and it has to come to pass. Somebody give God a holler right now. I was spending time with the Lord this week, and I was caught up in Proverbs, and I know that I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like me. Looks like you. So a speaking God is going to create a speaking man. Sometimes you are snared, the Bible said, by the words of your mouth. You talk yourself out of a new season. You talk yourself out of breakthrough. And you don't understand, precious, that very often your life follows your words. Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. He said, you got to get your words to line up with the word of God. So I want to speak the word. My children shall serve the Lord. My marriage shall be blessed. I'll be blessed going in and I'll be blessed coming out. The Lord is on my side. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. I rejoice, for I am the righteousness of God, and the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everywhere I put the sole of my feet, it shall be mine. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come, and I'm blessed when I go. I'm walking in the favor of the Lord. Somebody get it in your spirit. Put it in your mouth. You have the power to curse or bless your next season by what you think and what you speak. Come on, I'm not trying to be denominational. I'm trying to be transformational. I'm trying to get you to get the word inside of you, because the whole world was framed by the word of God. And that Bible you have, this Bible right here, what is it? It's the word of God. All scripture is God-breathed. So I'm not trying to find out what Fox thinks. I don't care what CNN thinks. I'm not looking at MSNBC. I get out the B-I-B-L-E and I speak the word. Somebody who's ready to manifest the word with Apostle in the next season, the next 6 months, give God a radical praise. You know what you're doing when you see all those people delivered at Teen Challenge? Manifesting the word. He that the Son sets free is free sure enough. Come on, somebody. But in Mark, you remember when Jesus came, he was upset, got mad at the fig tree. I'm some kind of Lord. I'm aggravated with the fig tree because it didn't have no figs. That'd be like going to Popeyes. I was on the road a few months ago and I went to the chicken place after church because there was an anointing on chicken. Yes, I have launched many chickens into the ministry. Come on, y'all. And I go to the chicken place and they said, we're out of chicken. I said, how are you going to be a chicken place and not have chicken? That's like coming to church and you ain't got no Jesus. Come on, somebody. But how many of you, how many of y'all glad y'all came into a church today where there's a big buffet of Jesus? So Jesus walks up the fig tree, aggravated because there's no figs, and he cursed it. Remember that? And it still looked good. He cursed it, and it was still green. But it had already died. Even though it looked good, y'all, that word curse had killed it. When he spoke it, it was already done. It looked alive for a while. But 3 days later, when they came back, it became obvious that it was dead. How many new seasons and miracles and breakthroughs have been sabotaged and doomed because of the power of someone's words? There are even people who've had word curses spoken over them by themselves and others. And I've come to tell you, we need to break those word curses. And I'm speaking life over the next season. You remember when Jesus asked Peter, where you gonna go? Are you gonna leave me? And Peter said, listen, where else can I go in John 6? Only you have the words of eternal life. So here's what I'm doing right now. Raise up your hands. I speak life over your family. I speak life over your children, your mind, your next season, your job, your business, your future, and your finances. I speak life over every Calvary campus. If you receive life, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. Okay, so Elohim, but let's quickly look at Yahweh. Yahweh is interchangeable with the name Jehovah. They both mean the same. Jehovah is the covenant keeping name of God, and simply defined, it means the God who has always and forever will be there. When he met Moses, he said, I am that I am. He didn't say I was, I'm about to be, I'm going to be. He just said I am. And Yahweh, I was reading this, this blessed my soul so much. Yahweh, Hebrew sages and scholars believe that you can't even breathe without saying the name Yahweh. That when you breathe in and when you breathe out, the Lord said, I designed a man where even if he didn't want to, he can't breathe without acknowledging me. Y'all ain't helping me. I can't find nobody. Maybe the organ will help me. But I can't find nobody in the church that'll help me. That even when you didn't know it, you were breathing and declaring his name over your family. You were breathing and declaring his name. Somebody give Yahweh the greatest praise of the whole day. Now, it's something that all through Genesis 1 and 2, we see the creative name Elohim, the God who makes something out of nothing, the mighty God who brings peace. Come on, somebody. The earth was without form or void, and darkness covered the face of the earth, and there was chaos and calamity and problem in the earth. But when Elohim stepped out, peace, come on, it manifested. I declare that peace is about to manifest in your life. All through Genesis 1 and 2, we see Elohim. But then, all of a sudden, he's no longer just revealing himself as Elohim. He switches from his creative name alone, Elohim, to his covenant-keeping name, Jehovah. He said, I'm making a man, and this man is going to need a covenant. I'm going to have to make a covenant with this man. I dare somebody right now, if you're in covenant with the Lord, give him a praise right now. If you believe there's healing in that covenant, give him praise right now. If you believe there's deliverance in that covenant, give him praise right now. If you believe there's hope in that covenant, give him praise right now. If you believe there's victory in that covenant, that is the covenant-keeping name of God. He said, when I create man, I'm going to use my covenant-keeping name. Now, is that covenant-keeping God that created man? Ready? And the Bible says, everything's good. In fact, it's very good. Study it. But then the devil shows up. In the garden, coming to kill, steal, and to destroy. And one side note here, don't play with the devil. I said, don't play with the devil. Don't entertain the devil. Paul told the church in Ephesus, he said, give no place to the devil. No place in your mind, no place in your conversation. In other words, don't even give that joker the time of day. Give Satan no place, no audience, and no input, young man, into your life. Do what James said. James said in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So he arrives in the garden with an agenda to tempt Eve. Because he had an agenda, because he knew that God loved man and man's made in his image. Satan, remember, has been kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be God himself. He tried to become God. And he attempted to raise his throne, the Bible said, above the throne of God. And he wanted and desired God's glory. And it was that desire that brought about his destruction. And when he failed, y'all, look at what he did. Look at how he tempted the woman. He said, then the serpent said to the woman, you won't surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. The very thing that he wanted. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. He used that same lie against the woman. Be careful who you let whisper in your ear. Be careful who you give influence to. Be careful if you listen to a gossiper. Be careful if you listen to anybody who tries to tear down the work of the Lord or people of God. Be careful that you don't give audience. I want somebody right now who's not giving any audience to the devil, only giving audience to the king. Open up your mouth and give the king a praise right now. There actually was a correct answer. The woman, if she would have responded with this answer, it would have shut the devil down. How many of y'all ready to shut the devil down? I want the people who's ready to shut the devil's influence over your family down. I want the people who's ready to have the devil's influence over your mind with all that worry and all that angst. If you're ready to shut the devil down, give the Lord a mighty praise right now, because your praise silences the enemy. Come on, are you ready for this? We let worry consume us, and worry is our flesh praying. Is there anybody here ready to shut the devil down in this season? Here's the answer that would have shut the devil down. When Satan told the woman if she ate the fruit, she would be like God, her reply should have been, well, why don't you eat it then? I thought about taking my seat, because if I don't say nothing else the rest of the day, that was worth coming. He should have said, why don't you eat it then? You know what the devil is? He's a liar. He's a big fat liar. He's a loser. He's a big fat loser. He doesn't have the capacity to speak with any power over your life. Why don't you eat it then? I'm telling you, I am not going to be deceived by the enemy. And if you're not, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. This reveals how Satan seduced the woman. So here they are, getting ready to close. What does that mean? Nothing. They find that Pastor John led worship so long. It's his fault. Adonai, Elohim. He sung that for 40 days and 40 nights. Come on, somebody. Can I finish this, or y'all want me to quit? Listen, they've already beat us to Cracker Barrel. I said, can I finish this, or you want me to quit? If you want me to tie this up, holler one time. Just say, I want it all. If you want the whole thing, I got a little bit more I'm going to put on your plate. All right. So they rebelled. Eve ate us all out of house and home. Come on, somebody. Adam followed right behind her. And then the Lord comes looking for them. He's not looking for them because he don't know where they are. If God ever asks you a question, he already knows the answer. Y'all, I need somebody to preach to. He's only asking you the question so you can discover the answer. So he shows up, and all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are hiding and sewed fig leaves together. You remember that? And he said, "Where are you?" "We were afraid. We hid. We were naked." And just before the Bible said that they were naked, study your Bible. And it said they were naked and they were not ashamed, y'all. And you say, "Well, Apostle, how were they naked in one season and not ashamed? But in the next season, they're naked and they're ashamed." Let me unpack this. It'll take 2 minutes. Do you remember when Moses is up on the mountain? And he said, "Lord, show me your glory." And all he saw was the backward parts of the Lord. He said, "I can't show you fully my glory. You couldn't survive it." So he shows him his glory, and his face shines so bright that when he came down off the mountain, he had to wear a veil because the people couldn't even look at him because his face was covered with the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine? When Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the day, that they were literally covered with the glorious glow of the Lord, that they were covered completely with the glow of glory, that they were covered like a garment with the glow of the Lord. But the moment that they sinned, they fell out of fellowship with God and they realized their own nakedness. That glory went out, and then the Lord shows up and said, "Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? You know you're naked because you lost the glory." But I want to tell you what blesses my life is that when they were out of covenant relationship with God, it wasn't El Shaddai that showed up. It wasn't Elohim that showed up. But it was the covenant keeper. It was Yahweh. It was Jehovah that walked into their mess. I dare somebody right now, if you've ever had the covenant keeper walk into your problem and make a way out of no way, 1, 2, 3, give him praise. I'm thankful for my covenant keeping, way making God. The Lord Jehovah, who still shows up in my struggle. He shows up for me in the midst of my struggle and my mess. Jehovah simply means this: I'm here and I never left. So just before I land this plane, get your neighbor by the hand. Yeah, Lordy. I feel like preaching the old time way. Get your neighbor by the hand and shake them up. If their hair falls off, if it's good hair, put it in your purse and take it home with you. But tell your neighbor, this praise right here is a praise to Jehovah. It's a thank you for never leaving me praise. I dare somebody right now. When I lost my mind, you never left me. High five your neighbor and say, "He never left me. He's been my way maker. He never left me. He's been my door opener. He never left me. When my friends forsook me, he never left me. When my family forgot me, he never left me. When church folk acted like they didn't know me, he never left me." Yes, some people don't understand your praise right now, but they don't know how far away from him you got. So I need you to take about the next 35 seconds and give God a "He never left me" praise. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
never left you. You had an affair, but he never left you.
You lost your way, but he never left you. You were confused, but he never left you. You quit your worship, but he never left you. And he showed up as the covenant keeper, the God who is there, Yahweh, interchangeable with Jehovah. Hallelujah. It means the God who is here. So we hear a lot about Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. So when we call him Jehovah Nisi, he said, I'm the God who is here to be your banner and your strength. When we call him Jehovah Shalom, he said, you're going to have trouble sometimes, and life's going to get hard, but I'm here, and I'm going to meet you in that trouble. I'm in covenant with you, and I'm going to give you peace. There's going to be times you're sick. He's going to walk into your hospital room. Come on, somebody. And he's going to be Jehovah, the God who is here to heal. The doctor said, I can't do it. That's okay. Jehovah just walked in the room. Rapha's here. Some of you are at the end of yourselves, but Jehovah is Jireh, and he's able to provide whatever you need. So here's the last 90 seconds. You know, people always send me stuff and say, you know, you let people speak in tongues in your church. They're out of order. I feel like saying you don't understand the difference between intercession and worship. Sometimes you just have to go what's out of order about worshiping the Lord in the Spirit? You let nobody tell you a lie. So Adonai, this is where I'm closing. I went a little bit over time, but I'm not sorry. It's Teen Challenge's fault. No, I'm kidding with you. I'll never apologize for allowing God to move. I never will. Never will. So Adonai manifests, I think it's in Genesis 15. Abram is at the end of himself, and God said, I'm about to bless you, and your lineage is going to be like the stars in heaven and the sands of the seashore. And he's got this guy named Eleazar of Damascus that's living in his house. And he said, yeah, he was born in my home. All this will come through him. He said, no, son. He said, I'm about to do it through you. And then all of a sudden, for the first time, we see on the scene Adonai. Adonai means the master, the ruler, and the one who has the final say. Adonai means the one who has the final. Who has the final say. And he said, son, what you got to understand is I know you're old and I know your wife is old. But your body doesn't have the final say. The fact that your wife is past childbearing years, that doesn't have the final say. He said, I'm Adonai, I'm the ruler, I'm the master, and I have the final say. Oh, I thank him that he's the mighty El. I thank him that he is Elohim. He brings me peace and he makes something out of nothing. Oh, I thank him for that. Somebody just thank Elohim right now. Just, oh, hallelujah. I thank him. I thank him that he's Yahweh, Jehovah. He's my covenant maker and my covenant keeper. I thank you that every time I breathe, I acknowledge him. I thank you that because he's in me, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. The breath of God. But I thank you that even though it seems impossible to me, I don't have what I need to do what I feel like I'm supposed to do. My situation doesn't have the final say. My bank account doesn't have the final say. The doctor doesn't have the final say. Come on. Addiction doesn't have the final say. My past doesn't have the final say. Come on, somebody. My problem doesn't have the final say. My dilemma doesn't have the final say. My circumstances doesn't have the final say. Somebody just say Adonai right now. Just say Adonai. Come on, Adonai, Adonai. Speak Adonai over your family right now. Speak Adonai over that lost child right now. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to land this plane, but I feel something in the room. Speak Adonai right now. Speak Adonai over your financial situation. Speak Adonai over your ministry right now. Speak Adonai, Adonai. I'm telling you, he's in the room. Speak his name. Come on, John. Somebody begin to worship the Lord. Come on, I'm landing this plane, but you and your home. Adonai is about to come in. Elohim is about to manifest. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh.
Somebody sing it over your family.
Tuesday, 6:30. So we're going to not do our afternoon. We're going to do our evening prayer that night. Are we doing both? So we'll be praying at 12 and 6:30. I'm coming to both because I need Adonai, Elohim, El Shaddai. I need it all. But I'd love to meet you in the back. with heads bowed and eyes closed. There's nothing more holy than this moment. If you're in this room and you would say, Apostle, I've never been in a service like this before, or maybe I have, but I feel conviction. I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. There's sin in my life. And I would like to call on every part of God that you taught today. But I feel like my sin separates me. Here's the great and grand news. The covenant keeper is in this room today. He's not a covenant keeper alone. He's also a covenant maker. He wants to make a covenant with you and change your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, give me some light so I can see people. I need to just turn the lights up a little bit. If you're in this room with heads bowed and eyes closed and you'd say, Apostle, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. And if you're going to pray for somebody, pray for me, because I need everything that you've taught today to manifest in my life, and sin separates me from God. If that's you, when I count to three, raise your hands. Are you ready? One, pray for me. Two, three, slip your hand right up. Hands across this room, all over this room. Come on. I'm going to lend you 5 more seconds if you need to raise your hands. If you raised it up, hold it up and keep it up. But I'm lending you 5 more seconds. If you need to get sin under the blood, you need to get right with God. Here's 5, 4, 3, 2. Hands are still being raised. I see you all over the house. You at home, raising your hands right at your computer, at your TV. 2, 1. Okay, if you raise your hand up, keep it up right now. Hold it up. And if you're ready for a change, I want you to come stand right here in the front, and I'm going to pray with you. That's it, son. Come on. If somebody next to you raised their hand and they're apprehensive to come, you get them by the hand and you bring them. But if you're ready to come and you're ready for a new beginning, I want you to come right now. Look at them rolling up here. Look at them coming. Look at them coming. Ha, that's Jehovah in the room. That's the covenant maker in the room. He's cutting covenant with somebody today. Come on, y'all. We had this beautiful service that's honestly about 20-something minutes over, but that's okay. He's cutting covenant. Let's go. Let's go. Y'all clap while they come. Y'all clap while they come. Y'all clap while they come. What a day. What a day. What a day. Man, feels like revival. Feels like revival. Yedabakasiya. Altar workers, come stand close to them now. Everybody take your hand and put it over your heart. Dozens today are accepting Jesus. Hallelujah. Surround them and love them. Pray this prayer after me loud and strong. Pray, Heavenly Father. Come on the stage. Everybody join me. Let's do our first works. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for all my sins. I need Jehovah in my life. Take my heart, wash me, clean me, and change me forever. I declare Yahweh Adonai Elohim, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, everybody stretch your hands toward these who just prayed this prayer. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that this day is a day of change and transformation for you, that you won't turn back, look back, or go back, but everything before you is going to be supernaturally orchestrated by a God that had a plan for you and loves you so much that he brought you into this moment. I bless you, young man. I bless you, young lady. I declare that it is now time to be discipled, baptized, and go to the next level. In Jesus' name. Everybody else, just hold your hands up. I'm going to bless you. Altar workers, interact with these. How many of you got something out of the service today? Holler if you did. Come on. All right. I declare the blessing and favor of the Lord is upon you until we meet on Tuesday to pray. I declare that this week, Adonai, El Shaddai, Elohim, and Yahweh. You walk with that revelation, and anytime the enemy tries to come against you, you walk in peace and power. I bless you. Go in victory. God bless you. Hallelujah. Sing, John. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.